And now, let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View.
Well, welcome back. Tomorrow, poet Denise Isaac with her book, Black: Poetry and Affirmations Just for Me, and guidance for making better decisions in life from speaker, author, and consultant Michelangelo Costa. And his book is Never Be Wrong Again. But we begin with new ways for you to embrace your age. Our guide is Scott Page, president and CEO of the Lifeline Program. His book is It's Never Too Late, Getting Older, Wiser, and Worry-Free in Our Golden Years. Welcome, Scott.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's always good to have you. What got you onto this path of helping people embrace whatever age they are, especially if they're over the age of 60?
Well, you know, my personal wake-up call was watching my parents' sort of dreams for golden years just demolished in front of themselves. My father was a steel worker at Bethlehem Steel for 50 years, and when he retired, he thought he had the pension and the golden parachute and health care, and Bethlehem Steel went bankrupt, and they went bankrupt. And I saw my parents lose everything, and I started really focusing on what I could do to help them, and my work just sort of spilled out to other Americans. And since then, I've worked with thousands of Americans all across the country who are facing retirement, getting ready for retirement. And also, I've found that a large part of my audience has become baby boomers, where we're trapped between taking care of our children and our aging parents, and just sort of providing advice and any helpful advice I can give to seniors to help them sort of age and get the most out of their golden years.
Yeah. And one of the things, as you mentioned, financial, so often people think they have enough and then they discover they don't, and then they wind up, you know, working what I call kind of menial jobs for the careers that they may have had, and understanding that they can get back in charge there.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, seniors really underestimate themselves. You know, the good news is, Maggie, is that people are living longer. And the bad news is we got to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of there's skepticism resulting around whether Social Security will be there. You know, I really think that seniors and baby boomers need to empower themselves and get that can-do attitude back. You know, we can take care of ourselves. We can remain independent as long as humanly possible. And we're seeing wonderful opportunities with seniors reentering the workforce. I just read a study where employers are now leaning towards hiring a retired senior back into jobs versus a millennial because of traits such as responsibility. They show up for work. You know, they take pride in their job, and they don't spend most of the day playing on Facebook. So it's an interesting trend where employers are now focusing back on retired seniors to bring them back into the workforce versus some millennial with a high school or a college education.
Yeah, I have a friend who retired and was just looking for a little part-time work, went to Home Depot, you know, near where she lives. And, you know, she said, I only want 20 hours. And they said, well, could you possibly do 25. Next thing, she's doing 30. And now they're asking her, are you sure you don't want to come back full time? She goes, no, I don't want to come back full time because of the exact same reasons that you just said. They're reliable. They show up on time. They have a work ethic that is unlike so many of the millennials and even some of those in-betweeners don't have.
Yes, and unfortunately, you know, I think that seniors also underestimate the value of their wisdom. You know, so many times that, you know, I've caught myself and my grandparents, I think back of when you give little helpful hints to the younger generation and they sort of, you know, shrug their shoulders and say, well, I'll worry about that when I get old and those types of things. But, you know, I urge seniors never underestimate their wisdom. You know, you've been around a long time. You've seen a lot of things. You have a lot of knowledge, and pass that on to the younger generation. Even if you may think they're not paying attention, they really are. Yeah. Sooner or later, it'll come up to a point in their life and they'll say, you know what, I remember when so-and-so told me to wear sunscreen. Now I've got skin cancer. I really, you know, should have listened to them. Or, you know, I remember my grandfather telling me that I need to save and take care of myself. And, you know, those little helpful hints really do make a difference. So I urge seniors, continue to voice your opinion and give your helpful advice.
Yeah, I do that. This is my open forum on a regular basis, but even with personal friends, you know, it's a way of doing it. I just I thought back to my husband and I were watching TV last night. We were watching America's Got Talent. And the very last person showcased was a 90-year-old woman who, in a sense, did a striptease. Wasn't all the way down to the bare minimum. But, you know, she really amazed the crowd. And it turns out she had been dancing for 27 years. When she was much younger, then she, you know, got out, got married, did that kind of thing. Now she's a widow. And she said, I'm still ready to have some fun in my life. And at 90 years old, she wowed the crowd.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it goes back to my very, very dear friend is Betty White. We've been friends for over 25 years, and she was the spokesperson for my company for a number of years. And I learned so much from her. And, you know, she would always say to me, Scott, because I'd interview her and say, Betty, you know, what do you think about retirement? She goes, I don't like to use that word retirement because, unfortunately, retirement brings a mixed bag of responses. You know, retirement thinks that you just, some people think when I retire, I'm just going to have to sit on a park bench and feed pigeons. She goes, you know, people need to rethink retirement. Retirement should mean doing what you've always wanted to do. And finding a way to do that will make you happy. And continue to use your mind, continue to use your body, stay active. Now, look for healthy lifestyle choices. And those types of things are going to help carry you into your golden years, and you're going to get so much more out of it. Mm. Now, whether it's a social schedule of, you know, every Monday night I play bingo, and every Thursday.
And doesn't she play cards a lot with her friends?
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a poker club. She's got, you know, it helps me. I use my mind. I use math. Yeah. You know, I use strategy. I use those types of things. And it really helps to keep my mind sharp because I like to read. She goes, I also use penmanship. She goes, I believe by keeping my mind and body active, and I write. She goes, I write, you know, I still use cursive, which is a lost art. Mm-hmm. You know, she has a really pretty cursive handwriting. She goes, I think that helps also keep my hand steady. Because it, you know, engages my mind and body, and simple little things like that that Betty has passed on, I've actually put into the book. Another part I think is important for seniors and baby boomers is to have some idea of how long we're going to live.
I know, you've got a chart in here.
Yeah, you've got to have a chart, and also on, and it makes it a little easier, on a website, it's scottpage.com, it's scottpage.com. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of resources, and there's also an online quiz that you can take that'll give you some projection of how long you're going to live and some helpful hints on how you can beat the odds.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a call from Brian in Texas. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead, please.
I'm a little confused in regard to the your format. The other author who was speaking about the self-help, I really was curious to know what her remedy was. For example, I'm a recent author myself, and I find that I know I have a very good background in regard to what my issues really are, especially when she talked about the part where being not good enough and things like that come into play. I was raised in a household with my great grandmother, at a very early age, and she always went through this thing where with me and all my cousins and others in the family, and she'd always say, "Oh, you're not better than anybody else." You know, they give you that whole be humble kind of attitude. Uh-huh. And moving forward, I think that kind of stuck with me in a way that has been damaging almost.
Well, I'm gonna tell you that now we're talking about, you know, growing aging gracefully, and
okay. That's
one of the things that we're even learning how to do that, no matter what age you are, is so important for uplifting who you are. But I will tell you that our previous guest, Emily, has a website for you to go to, which is nonegativetalk.com.
Okay.
Nonegativetalk.com. And there you can get a free download about how to straighten your mind out and getting it moving in the positive direction. Because you are good enough, as everybody.
Yes, and Dave, I'd like to add, this is Scott Page. Part of my teachings and my book as well is positive affirmations. You know, I was raised by a father who's a steel worker, and you know, he told me to set my expectations on my earning on my age. So when I was 40, I should make $40,000, and I was 50, I should make 50. And if I had lofty aspirations, I should bring them back down to earth because I have to live in reality. I remember that, and all that did was fuel me. It fueled me to say, you know what, Dad? I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to bust my butt, and I'm going to be self-made, and I'm going to help people, and I'm going to make a difference in this world. And I really think he was trying to protect me, but really it was sort of holding me back. So, you know, the sky's the limit. Shoot for the sky.
You know, I appreciate that. And, you know, it's funny because even myself, I have a pretty strong following of my own, and I do have a lot of people who – constantly tell me how great I am at motivating and how I am about adding perspective and giving them the drive that they need to have done. In fact, responsible for many business people starting their own businesses and things like that. But and I've been told that I just don't see myself the gifts that I'm able to give other people, and that and it's a struggle for me because I don't get it. I'm working on that. I don't even know where to begin. So. I just do what I do. I help people. That's what I do.
But
I'm helping everybody else, but I can't help myself.
Okay. You need to straighten that out. But neither here nor there. That is your gift. Sometimes we just have to embrace the gift that we are and just thank God for that gift, because that's what Scott has helped a lot of people along the way too. But you had to learn how to embrace your gift, didn't you, Scott?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? What I got to is, you know, we always call it the shoemaker's kids never have shoes. And I really refer to ourselves as you've got to really put yourself first, because the more you can help yourself, the more you're going to be able to help others.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I very much appreciate you both. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brian. But go to the website, nonegativetalk.com. But also go to Scott's website. ScottPage.com is also very good. All right.
Will do.
Thank you, Brian. Blessings always. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, more with Scott Page. And we're going to talk about planning your life, doing some late life planning. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
We'll be right back with more conversation about today's hottest topics right after this short break. This is the Maggie Linton Show on Sirius XM Urban View.
Well, welcome back. Many people turn to medication to help with their different maladies, but our next guest says the power to overcome anything is within you. Dr. Susan Heitler is a Denver-based clinical psychologist who specializes in treatment of anxiety, depression, anger, narcissism, parenting challenges, and marital difficulties. Her book is Prescriptions Without Pills for Relief from Depression, Anger, Anxiety, and More. Welcome, Dr. Heitler.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to talk with you.
It is a pleasure to talk with you also. Let's talk about the reasons for you getting into this field, because I have to tell you, when I looked at what one of your books was, which David decides about thumb sucking, I thought, where was this woman when I needed her? You know? 50 years ago. Where were you? Actually, a little bit more than that, 60 years ago.
Uh-huh. Well, you ask a good question. Where did my interest come from? Because David Decides About Thumb Sucking was my first book, and the interest came because by the time my fourth child was thumb sucking, I realized, wait, I have three who are going to need massive braces. I don't need to do this for the fourth. I'm a psychologist. I'm supposed to know about behaviors and how to stop them when they're problematic.
And so you did. You delved into it, right?
Well, I was very surprised because I wrote a story for my son. I read him the story about a little boy who decides to stop thumb sucking, and he stopped thumb sucking, my son. Mm-hmm. So I thought, there's something to this business of reading books to children and maybe also to writing books for adults.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we just came out of a discussion about anger and arguments, and even that there are people that are just kind of it's a nature with them, but they don't necessarily need to get on pills to get their anger under control.
Exactly right. And in fact, another reason why I wrote Prescriptions Without Pills is I grew up in a family that, where there was needless anger. I wanted, you know, I'm too late to help my parents. They are long gone. But I wanted to be able to help other families and individuals to deal with their anger, their depression, their anxiety far more effectively than my parents, who were lovely people but just didn't know how to deal with those negative emotions.
Yeah. And that's so important, people learning how.
Exactly. You know, we spend so much time learning how to throw a football, how to get that basketball to line up just right so it falls right into the hoop. Mm-hmm. We need to spend some time learning how to handle our negative emotions so they work in our favor instead of against us.
Right. As I also want to talk really seriously about depression, because pills for depression are at an all-time high.
Rampant. In fact, amongst every four women who are in their middle years, at least one is taking antidepressants. That's kind of shocking, because there are real serious downsides of antidepressants.
And so let's talk about some of the downsides and then what people can do to get on the upside.
Excellent. So downsides of antidepressants first are they make some people gain weight. They can lower libido. So if you lose your interest in sex, it may be because of taking antidepressants. Now, both weight gain and loss of sexual good feelings are big problems. Not only for you, but if you're in a relationship, they're going to have a negative impact on your relationship. So those two alone are problems for starters.
And so what do we do?
Well, I'll just add a few more downsides of the mm-hmm. medication. Mm-hmm. If someone takes medication and then decides to go off, there's two major downsides.
Oh, yeah.
One, they have to go off very slowly, and the physician does not always explain this to people. If you go quickly off the medication, that can trigger a far worse depression than you had in the first place. Sometimes people think, oh, I must be really still depressed, so I'll have to go back on the pills. It's not so. It's that your body has become drug dependent.
And so then you need to, with almost any medication, you either take all of it till it's done, or like you said, if you decide you want to be off of it, let your doctor know. Let your family know. Don't just do it.
Yes, and particularly with antidepressants. Let's stick with antidepressants because mm-hmm. they create a dependence in your body. So it's like getting onto any addictive chemical. You have to get off very slowly. Then there's an additional problem, which is once people have taken antidepressants, it changes their brain and makes them more depression prone. So you're almost twice as likely to have another episode of depression if you've taken antidepressants than if you had treated the depression without pills.
So let's talk about how to move to the natural way of taking care of it without the pills. I know part of it has to be diet and nutrition.
Well, those can help, but they won't prevent a depressive episode. You can eat very well and sleep well and exercise. That keeps you generally healthy. Great. Still, once you hit up against a bump in your life, a difficult circumstance, conflict with someone, a problem that you just can't figure out what to do with, you become at risk for depression. I have what I call a hand map that shows mm-hmm. five routes for when you hit against a bump. Shall I go through the five?
Yes. Yes, do that. But even before then, before you go through those five routes, we've got a call from Deborah in Georgia. Good morning,
sure.
Deborah. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Maggie. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Doing great. You know what? I had a quick question. I was wondering, in her book, does it discuss about how to handle stress in a relationship? And I don't know if she could do this on air or not, but if she could give some tips on how?
Absolutely. Stress in relationships is often what leads to depression. So your question is very appropriate. Most people get depressed because of something going on in their relationship. There's an interaction where rather than get into a fight, which is one of the roots when you hit a bump, or just staying anxious, when we say stress, sometimes we mean we're anxious. Instead, people may just give up. That's the depressive reaction.
Right.
And, yes. Or rather than fight, give up, or just stay anxious like a deer in headlight, you may go get a drink. That's the addictive route. So instead of those four bad routes, if you have skills for dealing with problems that come up, you and the other person, then you can take the happy route, which is the route of collaborative problem solving, and you'll feel better. So what are the techniques for dealing with that? Well, learning how to talk over with the person you're in a relationship with, you, whether it's a child or another adult, learning to talk over difficulties in a quiet, mutually listening, problem-solving way, that makes all the difference.
Okay.
But that's not always. You have to be able. I understand what you're saying when it's an adult and you're trying to sit down and reason, and, you know, it's hard to explain. You have to be able to, like you said, sit down and reason together calmly.
But exactly. Calmly is the key word, because as soon as people begin to get angry or elevated or irritated, their ears close off. When there's no listening, there's no productive discussion.
Exactly. You know, what do you do?
Well, one way is to open your ears first. Sometimes that helps the other person. So a first step, instead of explaining your concerns, is to be sure you understand theirs. So say back to them what you're hearing and how sympathetic you feel toward their concern. That listening step sometimes will calm the other person down. Not always.
Okay.
Are you interested in the book?
Yes, I need it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, just hang on, and we will make sure that you get a copy of the book, okay?
Thank you so much.
And I have to tell you, sometimes, you know, even in you know, saying the words, making sure that you all, because I, you know, I've been married for 32 years, so we've had our, you know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And you know, it's a good relationship, but I find sometimes when we start beginning our hollering at each other, neither one of us are listening, or we didn't hear each other correctly. And so the thing to do is hard. It's like the doctor said, though, is really take the time to talk to each other, and I'll just say, let's end this discussion right now, and we'll come back to it later.
That is so important, because nothing productive is going to happen once your ears have closed off because your emotions are running too high.
Exactly. And even though I'm right. You know, but it's hard, but it is well worth it. If you're in for the long term in a relationship, take the time to learn how to communicate, because that's the biggest hurdle.
That's the basis. That's the basic skill. The skills for solving problems in a cooperative way are the basic skills that keep people out of depression. They're preventive. Sometimes they're also what helps once a depression has started to lift you out. And there's additional techniques.
Yeah. They're all in the book, Deborah. So just hang on. We'll get your address. And we're going to take a break, folks. And then when we come back, more with Dr. Susan Heidler. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more conversation about today's hottest topics right after this short break. This is the Maggie Linton Show on Sirius XM Urban View.